His name is precious. We give Him glory tonight.
Exodus chapter 34. This is our Old Testament book we're studying through together. If you're keeping notes with me, I've come down to verse 18. And I'm preaching through the rest of the chapter, verses 18 through verse 35. Exodus 34, verse 18 through verse 35. This is our Old Testament book, and we've preached all the way down through verse 17. You can go back and get that if you'd like to, and we pick up our study in verse 18. Come down to verse 23, and we'll read this one verse to get our title, because we'll read a majority, if not all, of this throughout this message, okay? Verse 23, thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. I want you to notice the phrase, the Lord God. And notice Lord is in lower letters. I'm talking about uppercase L, but lowercase O-R-D. But notice the name God in all capital letters. And I want to preach to you on the Lord God from these verses. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, your mercy and grace in our lives. And we praise you for what you've done for us. We praise you for the truth of God's word. And we praise the Lord Jesus Christ for how he came, bled and died on the cross of Calvary, and rose again for our justification. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are ever living to make intercession for us. And I pray that you'll bless this service, speak to our hearts, help us to grasp these truths and change our lives, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you like simple things, because tonight is very simple. But if you'll listen to this and get a hold of it, it'll change your life. As we proceed through this book together, we're reminded of how the Israelites, in context, have recently committed idolatry by making a golden calf while Moses was up on the mountain communing with God. Along with this, just in context now of these verses, we've already seen how Moses requests the Lord to see his glory. And God says, I have a place by me standing upon a rock. And as I pass by, I'll cover you with my hand and take my hand away. And I'll let you see my hinder parts, my back parts. But you cannot see my face because your flesh cannot take it. Along with this, just in context here, we've already preached last time we were in this book on how God revealed a name for himself, and his name is Jealous. We preached on a jealous God who will not share his glory with anybody else. That brings us up to date in the immediate context of these verses that we come to tonight. And in the remaining verses of this chapter, we see the Lord and Moses on display for our attention and our learning. And as I was studying this passage, the name the Lord God grabbed my attention. Now when you put this together, the all capital letters G-O-D is like the all capital letters L-O-R-D. It's the same name. It's Jehovah God. And when you put what Lord and God means all together, when you look it up, what Lord means, and look it up what God means with all capital letters, here's what you come up with. He is the self-existent, eternal God who is sovereign, controller, master and owner. That's all in this name. He's the sovereign, controller, master, owner, self-existent, eternal God. What a name this is for him. And in these verses, there are three major things I see about him that I trust will be a blessing to us today. Now, this encouraged my heart. I hope it will encourage your heart. And it not only encouraged me, it challenged me to be a better Christian for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you three simple things about the Lord God in this text tonight. Number one, we see his authority. Now, let's read these verses. Look at verse number 18. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, as I commanded thee in the time of the month of Bib. For in the month of Bib thou camest out from Egypt. All that openeth the matrix is mine, and every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou redeem him not, then shalt thou break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven. Neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left unto the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. Now you say, Jody, what in the world are you talking about? What do you mean you see the Lord God's authority? Let me ask you a question. Who's calling the shots in these verses? God is. And may I say something to you? The Lord God, with these things that he's telling Moses, thou shalt do this, thou shalt do this, thou shalt do this, I will do that, I promise this, you can do this, I will do this. Let me say something to you here, friends. In all of that, he's simply showing the authority that he has over mankind and over the earth. That's basically what he's saying right here. And as we walk through these verses, and I'm going to walk through them with you. I'm not going to preach on everything here. I'm just going to tap some things on the head. But we see in a nutshell that man does not reign over God, but God reigns over man. And we're to recognize who he is. He's the Lord God. And because of who he is, we are to submit ourselves to his authority in our lives. Now let me walk through these verses and just glean some things from it and come right back to what I just said, his authority. First of all, letter A, notice this in verse 18. He said, keep the feast of unleavened bread. Now you must remember that leaven symbolizes sin in the Word of God. And as one man said, prohibiting of leaven in these feasts emphasizes that sin will take away from our spiritual joys and corrupt our worship. Furthermore, not allowing leaven with the sacrifices that were for these feasts is to keep the type accurate, because Christ is pictured in these sacrifices and Christ is sinless. Here's what he's saying. In the feast, don't put any leaven into it. And the leaven pictures sin. Letter B, all that is born belongs to God. You see this in verse 19. Notice what he says, all that openeth the matrix is mine. Look up the word matrix. You know what it means? It means the womb. Everything that comes through the womb is mine, is what God said. That's men and that's animals. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying, I'm the Lord God, and I expect you to obey me. Here's my authority. I own you. And if I tell you no leaven, that's what I expect. You get where I'm going with this? No leaven in the sacrifices. By the way, you came through the womb. That means you belong to me. Now, friends, listen to me. The Lord was emphasizing here that he owns it all. And there is nothing born that does not belong to God Almighty. You know, all of us would do well to remember that fact. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong to God. And without God, we would not be here. Along with this, may I say this to you, all parents and grandparents would do well to remember this truth right here in verse 19. Our children do not belong to us. Our grandchildren, I say our, I'm speaking you obviously, some of you. Your grandchildren do not belong to you. You know, this is one thing that the Lord is teaching me as we await to hear official news for baby Jessa. We trust it's not going to be anything serious, but we don't know yet. We're just waiting on that. She goes to the doctor the 25th, by the way. Appreciate you praying for that. But God kind of keeps coming over and over in my mind, whose is she, Jody? Is she yours? Or is she mine? This verse gives me the answer. All that openeth the matrix is mine. Let me ask you a question. Do you live as if this verse is the truth in your life? In a crowd this size, there's no doubt in a crowd this size that there's somebody doing their own thing, living their own way, knowing that something they're doing is wrong, but they're just not going to quit, they're not going to stop. And I would simply say to somebody like that, whether they're listening live, whether they hear this later, or whether they're sitting in this auditorium, you don't belong to you. You belong to the Lord God. Number three, letter C. Redeem with a lamb or break its neck. Now, what kind of a truth is that? May I say this to you? What a picture of the gospel. Because this animal, the ass was to be redeemed with a lamb. But if it was not redeemed with a lamb, break its neck. What's the picture? This means you're redeemed by a lamb or you're going to be judged yourself. What a picture of the gospel, friends. By the way, only God can make these claims. Stay with me here. Number four, letter D, none shall appear before me empty. This is found in verse number 20. A common consensus of this is that he was talking about the feast and sacrifices, and a majority of people believe that what he's saying here is nobody is to come to me without something to give. Everybody's to give me offerings. Everybody's to give me something. Nobody stands before me empty-handed. Bring me an offering. Letter E, rest on the Sabbath day. Rest on the seventh day. That's verse 21 and following. No matter what time of the year it was, whether it was harvest time or not, makes no difference how busy you are, you stop on the seventh day and you rest. You listening to me? Don't you see where I'm going with this? His authority. The Lord God's authority. He's telling them, this is what I expect. This is what I'm commanding. This is what you're to do. By the way, I own you. His authority. Letter F, observe the feast, verse number 22. Letter G, I'm just trying to tap these on the head because I don't want to get bogged down here. Letter G, three times in the year shall all the males appear before him. This is found in verses 23 and 24. All the males, all the men were to come to present themselves in the place of God's public service. And in a world where male leadership is missing, let the men of this local church and this local assembly answer the call to appear before the Lord for His service. By the way, look at the promise connected concerning the land in verse number 24. Now, look at this. He's saying in verse 23, thrice in the year shall all your male children appear before the Lord. You know what that means? That means they were to come out of their land, leave their wives and children. And there was no male, are you listening? No male presence in their land, in their homes. Now, any man is concerned for the protection of his house, right? Any man worth his salt would do anything to protect his wife and children. Amen. Anything. Anything. I don't care what it is. Somebody comes into your home and tries to take your wife and children out, take them out. Amen. Protect your home. Protect your family. But here's what God said. Three times in the year, leave your wives, leave your children, and every man come up here before me. But notice verse 24. By the way, what I'm saying in verse 24, only a God who has authority can say this in verse 24. Look at it. For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Notice this. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. What's he saying right there? You obey me and I promise you I'll take care of your home. I promise you I'll take care of your wife. I promise you I'll take care of your children. I promise you they won't even desire your land if you just obey me as a man. What a promise, friends. By the way, I need that promise before I go to India. Amen. I don't have to worry about my wife and children. I'm not saying I'm not going to, but I don't have to.
because all I'm doing is obeying God. And when a man obeys God, God Almighty protects him and protects his home and protects his family and protects his children and protects his wife. What a promise here. I like what one man said, the path of duty is the way of safety. I like that. The path of duty, what God tells you to do, is the way of safety. The safest place on planet Earth is the will of God. Makes no difference where it's at. If you're in the center of God's will, God, the Lord God, who has authority, can promise protection to you and your family. Nothing will happen that doesn't pass through His hands first. Only a God with authority can make that promise. Let me give you letter H. Don't mix the blood of the sacrifice with leaven. We see this in verse 25. Now in this command, we once again are reminded how leaven pictures sin. Therefore, do not mix sacrifice with sin. By the way, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that's pictured in the blood of the sacrificial lamb is without blemish. Don't let that blood be mixed with leaven. Don't mix what pictures sin with the blood of the sacrifice. What a picture, friends. There's no leaven in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is sinless. He is without blemish. Only God can make these statements. Three more, and I'm going to summarize this again and move on to point two. Don't let the sacrifice be left until the morning. This is found in verse 25. That means there should be no spoiling that leads to unsavory smells or flies that would hinder the holiness of that sacrifice. See, anything offered to God should not be polluted. It shouldn't be corrupted. And make sure that God is given the very best. And when He says the sacrifice, if it's not eaten, don't leave it until the morning. What He's saying, I agree with what one man said, leaving any parts of the meat of the lamb till the next morning, risk putrefaction of the meat. The putrefying of the meat would bring revulsion of it. In other words, since the lamb represented Christ, God was making sure that in tight, nothing was done that would create any kind of revulsion of Christ Himself. In other words, that meat left out in the sun, so to speak, overnight, it's going to ruin, it's going to spoil, it's going to start stinking. Did you ever pull something that was out of date out of your refrigerator? Or maybe something that got spoiled out in the sun and it's in a bag and you open it and it's good night. That's in the original Greek right there. Good night. You know what I'm talking about. Well, these sacrifices picture Jesus. And He's saying, I don't want you leaving it overnight. Don't let it spoil. Don't let it stink. Don't you let flies get on it. Once again, what a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, God give us this respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. To bring no stench on His name. No stink on His character. Letter J, bring the first of the first fruits of the house of God, verse 26. There's no doubt that this is a command to put God first. He's not to take second place for anybody or anything. Finally, letter K, don't see the kid in his mother's milk. Now, that's verse 26. There's a couple of thoughts as to what this means. I'm going to give you both of them because both of them are truths that we can apply to our lives. First of all, it's been said that the simple object of the precept seems to be this: thou shalt do nothing that may have any tendency to blunt any moral feelings or teach the hardness of heart, because every human nature shudders at the thought of causing the mother to lend her milk to seethe or boil the flesh of her young one. That's one area of thought that some people think it's talking about this. Don't be hard-hearted. Don't be unnatural. It's unnatural for a mother to give her milk that's used to help that baby grow and nourish that baby, to use it for another reason, to boil their flesh so somebody can eat them. That's common sense that we can apply that to our lives. Friends, we can apply that to a lot of things. Abortion, other things. It's unnatural. I'll say it again, it's unnatural. It's not right.
But there's another area of thought, so I'm going to give it to you as well. It's also said that the first fruits or firstborn of the cattle, which were not to be offered to God while they were in their mother's milk, in other words, or till they were 8 days old. This is another place here. And consequently, if they might not be offered to God until they're 8 days old, they might not be used by men for food either. In other words, they're being prepared for a greater purpose. You see what I'm saying? So if they can't be used until they're 8 days old for a sacrifice, don't you use them before the eighth day that I have it for them. They're mine. Don't you boil them and eat them, because they're consecrated to me. The point there is that God is not to be selfishly, what is God's is not to be selfishly used for ourselves, even if it's not the direct interpretation. Either one of these truths can apply here. But with all of these things that I just simply mentioned to you, to keep the feast with unleavened bread, everything that comes through the womb is God's. Redeem the ass with a lamb or break its neck. Don't let anybody appear before me empty. Rest on the seventh day. I don't care what time of the year it is. Observe the feast. 3 times in the year, all your males come, and I promise I'll take care of your land. Don't mix the blood of the sacrifice with leaven. Don't let the sacrifice be left until the morning. Bring the first of the first fruits to me. Don't see the kid in the mother's milk. Here's where I'm going. The way he spoke to me, it's how he has authority in our lives, friends. The Israelites did not tell him what to do and how to live. He told them how to live and what to do. And friends, we would do well to realize that this life is not about a life of doing our own things, but rather it's a life where we should submit to the authority of the Lord God in our lives. May I say this to you? Just as sure as God gave these specific commands and promises because of his authority over the Israelites, he has given you and I a list of commands and promises showing his authority over us. And just like they should have said, "Yes, sir," let us report for duty. And let us say, "He is the Lord God. And if he tells me to jump, my answer is going to be, how high would you like me to jump, sir? You want me to jump right now? A day from now? 30 seconds? What? Tell me what to do." Let me say something. Human beings do not like to be told what to do. But faithful Christians who understand their God, they want to be told what to do. Not by another man, but by the Lord God. His authority. Number two, his word. We see this in verses 27 and 28. Notice this. "And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words. For after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments." Now, the "he" in verse number 28, I personally believe the one that wrote the Ten Commandments, that was God. We see this in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 2 and 4. And what we believe this is teaching is that the words that he's just said, the first fruits, all these commands, write them down, Moses. How do we know he wrote them? We just read them in the Word of God. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, Moses wrote these words. Moses is the human penman. God's the author, but Moses is the human penman. And yet God gave him the second tables of law written with the finger of God. So when he came down off the mount, he had God's word written with God's finger, and he had the word of God that he had written with his own hand that God told him what to write down. Now, what's the point here? The point here is this. This is exactly how we got the Word of God, friends. Exactly. What I mean is this. The Lord God revealed His Word to Moses. And He told Moses, write these words down. And that's exactly what Moses did
to the point that the written word that we read tonight is not man's word, it's the Lord God's word. And it is revealed by God, inspired by God, preserved by God, the living God, the Lord God, to where when these men of God wrote the words down, it wasn't their words, it was God's words. And friends, let me say something to you. If that's not true, let's throw the Bible out the window, go home and live any way we want to live, do anything we want to do. I'm telling you, we've got a copy of the very Word of God with us tonight. How do we know that? Because the Lord God spoke it. He gave it. And He moved holy men of God with His Holy Spirit to write down the very words of Scripture. We believe the very words of Scripture are inspired by God. And here's what I mean by that. If I told you right now, take out a piece of paper. Now don't do it, just play along with me. If I said, take out a piece of paper and write this down. And then I told you, write this down. My name is Jody Jenkins. I am the pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Let me repeat it. My name, put it down, is Jody Jenkins. I am the pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Now, you may have written it, but it's not your word, it's mine. I breathed it. I breathed it to you. You simply wrote down what I told you to. That's a simple way of showing you how we've got the Word of God today. God Almighty inspired. You know what the word inspired means? It means He breathed it. It's God breathed. It's God's Word. He breathed it. But yet the men of God wrote it down. To the point that what we have in our presence tonight is not man's word. It's God's word. 2 Peter 1, 10, 20 and 21 says this, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God, the Holy Spirit, was the superintendent of the writing of the Word of God. He made sure that it's His Word and not man's. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, by God's breath, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Psalm 12, 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Do you believe that promise? Do you believe that God has preserved His Word? Yes. If you don't, why are we here? You say, how do you know it's God's Word? Can I just put it this way? I just know. You say, what proof do you have? Because it's still here after all the attacks that people have tried to get rid of it. You say, Jody, do you really believe that the book you hold in your hand has God, the Lord God, as its author? Absolutely, I believe that. With every ounce of my being. And I'm glad that I can get up on Sundays and Wednesdays and go to India or go to a revival meeting and open the Word of God and preach it unapologetically, because God said it. That's the authority. His authority. But He follows it up with His Word. He's given man His Word. So we've seen His authority, we've seen His Word, and we close with this thought. And I thought this was so appropriate after Vision Night, trying to set up leaders and get leaders in place and strengthen the leaders that are here, which are many of you. God bless you. You're doing such a wonderful job, all of you. Sunday school, bus workers, cancer ministry, shut-in ministry, nursing home, you name it. John Sevier Center, all these kind of things. You're doing such a fabulous job, and God's laid it on my heart to strengthen leaders, to train leaders. Because when you train leaders, you're automatically reaching out and tapping into their influence, and leaders have followers, so to speak.
So I close with the Lord God's leader. You see this, his name is Moses. We've seen his authority, we've seen his word, but he closes with his leader. Look at verse number 29 and following. It came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Now you look up that word shone, it means, carries the idea of having horns. Now, don't let that frighten you. It doesn't mean that Moses came down with horns, okay? It carries the idea of rays coming off of you, like the rays of a sun. You see what I'm saying? Just his face is gleaming, okay, while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. Would you be? It's easy to fault Aaron and these people. But if Moses comes in off the mountain and he's got beams of light coming off his face, I don't think you'd run up to him. What happened, Moses? What happened? I don't think so. They were a little afraid. We read on. Verse 31. Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. And Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. The children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him, went in to speak with God. In these verses we read when Moses came down from the mountain that he did not know that his face was shining. Interesting, isn't it? He didn't even know it. He called unto the people and talked with them, talked with their rulers, their leaders. After this, all the children of Israel came nigh to him. They came near him. And it's interesting what he did. He did not say, look at my face. He put a veil over his face. What's the Bible say he did? He gave them what the Lord told him to speak. And while he spoke to them, he put a veil over his face. Now, if you want to look at the typology, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 later. I just felt the Lord not want me to go there tonight. Maybe I'll go there when I preach through 2 Corinthians if the Lord gives me that opportunity. But you can study 2 Corinthians 3 for some typology about the veil. But God led me in another way, just about how this leader is such a leader for us to mimic. In all of this, we see God's chosen leader being used of God to make a difference in the Israelites' lives. Can I give you three simple things about this leader? That every God-called leader should get on our face and say, God, help me do that. Help that be true of my life. Three simple things. I'm just about done. Number one, he spent time with God on the mountain. You see this in verse 29 because the Bible says it came to pass when Moses came down from the mountain. Now he was up there 40 days and 40 nights, didn't eat anything, didn't drink anything. God was sustaining him miraculously on the mountain. Number two, he not only spent time with God on the mountain alone, but number two, he shined with God's glory when he came down. Boy, I like this. This is verse 29. One man said, if we would shine in the valley, we need to stay on the mountain long enough to get charged up. I like that. It's been said those hallowed days in the presence of God left their mark. It was a glowing face. And would that we could have a glory face without knowing it like Moses. Others saw the reflection of glory. But Moses wist not, the Bible says, that his face shone. It shows when we've been with God on the mountain. It really does show. Maybe not so much to us, but to others. I want to ask you a question. Do others see the glory of God in your face? Because you've spent so much time with Him alone on the mountain. I'm convicted. Mr. Varley once told the story of a lady named Sybil. She was a slave many years ago. But her mistress said to her, and I quote, "When I heard you singing on the housetop, I thought you were fanatical. But when I saw your beaming face, I couldn't help feeling how different you were to me." Sybil, the slave at that time, answered and said, "Ah, missus, the light you saw in my face was not from me. It all came reflected from the cross. And there's heaps more for every poor sinner who'll come near enough to catch the rays." I like what that slave said that day. She may have been bound to man, but she was communing with her God, and God was gleaming through her face. This leader spent time with God on the mountain. This leader shined with God's glory. And this leader, number three, he spoke God's word to the people. This is found in verses 32 to 34. It's interesting how Moses covered his own face to tell the people God's word. I like what one man said. He said, "Moses was more concerned about the people knowing what God said than his own glory." That is a powerful statement. If our face was shining because we were so close to God, there'd be people today walking around doing this. "Look at me, look at me." Not Moses. Moses didn't even know his face was shining. Maybe that's why it was. And he covered it because he knew there was something that God wanted him to do. And that was deliver God's message. Could it be that after Moses spent that time on the mountain with God, that God allowed his face to shine because those people down in the valley that he's getting ready to give the word of God to need to know that God was on this man? God marked his man to give him the authority he needed to say, "This is what God said." Let me ask you a question. Do people sit up and listen when you speak on behalf of God because they know with the gleam on you that what you're saying is really what God says? These people had no doubt when Moses spoke. God said that. Why? Because he had spent time with God on the mountain. God anointed him and caused his face to shine when he came down. And he reared back on his hind legs and said, "Let me tell you what God says." May I say this to us? God, give us leaders like that. Leaders who spend time with God. God wants to use you, young man. He wants to use you. And he wants to use you. And he wants to use her. And he wants to use me. But he realizes we need him. You going to spend time with him on the mountain? So your face starts shining with his glory? Why? So you can show off? No. So you can rear back on your hind legs and say, "Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God." His authority, his word, his leader. It's an exalted privilege and honor to know the Lord God of heaven, isn't it? Is it not? Is it not a privilege to be able to call the Lord God of heaven your Lord God? He truly is supreme and sovereign over all. And in this message, we see three things about him: his authority, his word, and his leader. Let me close with this. May we submit to his authority in our life. Whatever he tells us to do, our answer is yes. May we rejoice that we hold a copy of his word in our hands. And may we be a leader who spends time with him and come down from our meeting with His glory shining in our face. And may we speak His word to others. This is the message God gave me from these verses. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, bless this, I pray. May the will of God be done. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us with these verses. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I never want to let a service come and go without giving people the opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. So as they get ready, they're going to begin to play through softly. If you're here tonight and you've come to church but you've never come to Christ, today's your day. Come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Or maybe tonight God is speaking to you about His authority in your life. Maybe you've been living your own way, doing your own thing, and the Lord God has said to you tonight, I'm your authority. You belong to me. And you ought to be listening to me and obeying my voice. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you about just spending more time with Him on the mountain. That's not going to hurt any of us, is it? Maybe He's speaking to you about shining His glory more in your life. Or maybe He's speaking to you about stop speaking your own words and just tell people what He said. That's the gospel. That's the word of God. That's teaching and preaching. That's soul winning. That's just discipleship. You understand? My brother Gary, just to begin to sing. If you're a leader here, you have a desire to lead, and that's a good thing, and you want to come and get on your face and say, God, make me a leader like that, one that spends time on the mountain along with you, one that shines the glory of God through my own face, and one that speaks the word of God boldly with your authority. As Brother Gary sings, you get out of your place and you come. Would you do it now? Come now, please. If God is speaking to you, if the Lord is speaking to you, make me a leader like that, God. Make me a leader like Moses. Make me a leader that spends time with you, that shines forth the glory of God, that speaks the word of God with boldness. This is what we need. It's what our churches need. It's what our Sunday school classes need. It's what our ministries need. It's what our country needs. It's what our world needs. God's children who will get alone with Him on the mountain, who will ask Him to shine through their life and will speak His word. We're just about done tonight, but I sense the Holy Spirit of God moving in this building. I sense the Holy Spirit of God moving and saying, He's giving it to you right. He's telling you the truth. Be a leader like that. Be a leader like that. May God help us. May the Lord help us. Amen. Our Father, we love You tonight and we thank You for the privilege to pray. And as we're praying tonight, Lord, I pray that You'll engrave this message on our heart. Would You help us not to get away from it? Remind us often of Your authority, that You call the shots. Help us to live in submission to You. Remind us often of the Word of God and how we got it. That holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And they simply wrote down what You told them to write down. Help us to preach it faithfully. And help us, Lord, to be a leader like Moses, spending much time on the mountain with You. To the point that when we come off the mountain, our faces are shining, our faces are gleaming with the glory of God. And may we not try to make much of ourselves, but much of You and Your word. And may, Lord, we cover ourselves so we can preach the word of God to people. Thy will be done. And I pray right now for two special requests, and I pray that our church will join me right now with this about India and the local church start down in Texas. Father, I pray for this local church that's starting in Texas. I pray right now for these that's made a profession of faith. I pray it's real. I pray it's genuine. And I pray that those folks will be in the first service on the 24th. I pray that you'll help that church to launch for the glory of God. May it be a lighthouse in that part of the country and shine around the world. And may this church have a small part in that. Be with Daniel and Becca and Brad and maybe others who may go down. We pray that you'll touch and anoint them in a special way. Protect them and help them and guide them. And for this trip to India, Lord, I pray that you'll protect the planes as they travel. Protect us in country, out of country. Get us back home safely as well. And as we're on the ground there, I pray that you help us to be a real encouragement to your man and to that college. And I pray that you'll divinely, by your Holy Spirit, draw people to hear the gospel message. And as all these language groups will be meeting and interpreting, Holy Spirit of God, may you be the preacher. And may you take the stammering words and may they be your word of God. But may you take our human stammering words and penetrate people's hearts and lives. And may when we get home, the good Lord willing, may we have a great victory speech to give. May many be saved, lives be changed, churches established, Christians encouraged. As a result of this meeting in India, I pray. We love you tonight. Keep your hand upon this church. And bless, Lord, the prayer meeting that's beginning soon in our near future, God willing. May you touch it, breathe upon it on Wednesday nights. In Jesus' name. Amen. Right before I let you go, I'm going to call the church into session.